Wake up, sleepyheads. This is CJSF 90.1 FM.
And you're tuning in to Slumber Party. This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby Community Radio from Simon Fraser University. Burnaby is located on the ancestral and stolen homelands of the Halkomelem and Squamish-speaking peoples.
You can listen online at cjsf.ca or on our radio app, which you can download from the app or Google Store depending on your device. Keep up to date on our social media at linktree/cjsfradio and learn more by visiting our website, cjsf.ca. Welcome, everybody. This is Slumber Party, and I'm DJ Coco.
And I am DJ Star. Welcome. Thank you for tuning in on this Tuesday.
Not too bad of a Tuesday, I'd say. Mm-hmm. It's all right.
It's going okay.
It's just going.
Yeah.
But anyways, we have a topic as usual, so stay tuned for later on because we're going to be trying to go and kind of tie our previous topic of marriage from last week and see if we can go more into the kind of more the definition of love and go into some of the biology, some ties to society as well that DJ Star has, but we'll see how that goes. But we're just gonna start off with the music first. So the first one you'll be hearing is called Again Again by Sahadi. So I'm gonna try to set this up and enjoy.
So you make it right where I stay. So attentive, you just my first way. I'm avoiding to care because sun, I'm preparing down the affairs. Want you to wait, I got to break the innovations. Go again, again. É que dói, amor, é que dói. Se ninguém quer prever, tentar ver que este mundo. Ah, é que pós, amor, é que pó. Vê tantos horas que te curia na olhar pô. É que dói, amor, é que dói. Se ninguém quer prever, tentar ver que este mundo. Ah, é que pós, amor, é que pó. Vê tantos horas que te curia na olhar pô.
Thank God we made it to the In science, technology, engineering, and math. Whether you're a seasoned professional or just starting on your journey, the Society for Canadian Women in Science and Technology is here to support you every step of the way. From mentorship programs to networking and skill-building events, we've got the tools and resources you need to succeed and thrive in STEM. Visit squist.ca to learn more. That's SCWIST.ca. We can't wait to connect with you.
Welcome back. This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, community radio from Simon Fraser University. I'm DJ Coco.
And I'm DJ Star.
And you're tuning into Slumber Party. So the last song you just heard was called Moog by
Moog.
Moog, M-O-O-G by
what
Rich.
What does this mean?
I have no idea, but very cool. It's by Rich A. Coin. I'm really bad at pronouncing things, but it really reminds me of stuff and music that Bitcoover plays, which, little teaser, is at 8 p.m., so stay tuned later on. And then the song before that, you heard I Hate DJs by Chiara Savastra.
Little switch up.
Yeah, that was more
from
of
the
an,
last song.
Yeah, more of an indie pop kind of song, but I thought it was funny just because of the name. Yeah. And then you heard the one right before that one, you heard The Credits by Juniper Smile. And I like that one. I really like the riff of the guitar and the drums in that one.
That was good.
Yeah, pretty good. But
nice picks.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
But anyways, we are going to try to attempt to discuss.
We are going to discuss.
I mean, we are going to discuss.
It's not going to be an attempt or a try. We're discussing right now.
Oh, yeah.
You better listen to it, too.
Okay, so love.
Love.
Start us off.
We're talking about... Oh, okay, I'm starting us off. I think for this discussion, just to preface, we're mostly going to be talking about romantic love and what's associated with that.
Mm-hmm.
There is a general definition that DJ Coco has here, however.
Yes. So there are multiple definitions of romantic love. The general definition I could find, which probably can describe it best, would be a set of emotions and behaviors characterized by intimacy, passion, and commitment. So this would include care, closeness, protectiveness, attraction, affection, and trust. But if we were going to go to more specifics into the neuroscience of love, I would say this is a bunch of neurochemicals in terms of, let's say, falling in love, like falling in romantic love. So this can be really associated with a lot of reward circuits that flood our brain. And then that kind of give us the physical or emotional response that we feel when, I guess, we're with that person.
Yeah, that's actually also similar to addiction in a way. They've looked at, researchers have looked at the activity like in the in certain brain regions, and they are in areas that release dopamine, which is part of the reason why people become addicted to things.
Right. Yeah.
That chasing this
reward circuit, mm-hmm. especially. I think especially at the beginning of a relationship too, that dopamine is getting hit. And there are also other neurochemicals as well. At the same time, you can also see or feel oxytocin. Oxytocin, which is also commonly known as like a love hormone, so gives those feelings of calm and contentness, and usually associated with mate bonding. There's another one called vasopressin, and this has more of a role in nursing, pregnancy, that and that kind of mother-kid bond, and as well there are feelings that kind of are. This vasopressin is more prevalent in your body when you have a long-term relationship. So I think it's not more feeling of stability than that like instant dopamine rush kind of thing mm-hmm. at the beginning of a relationship. And as well, there's also testosterone and estrogen, which drives lust. So that's more of the neuroscience definition.
Yeah. And I do have this theory of love that was developed by this scientist called Dr. Helen Fisher, which is, I referenced this last week, but I didn't know the specifics of it, so I want to, like, explore it a little bit more, but I'm going to use a lot of the chemicals are also, like, associated with these different stages, too. Mm-hmm. So the first stage is lust and attraction, so that's just, like, the initial, if you think someone's attractive or not, and then that attraction will lead you to, like, potentially pursue romantic love, which has this feeling of euphoria, elation, energy. And then she theorizes that this feeling, like this obsession that you get, is for you to focus all your energy on a specific person to reproduce with.
Oh.
And then third is when romantic, intense romantic love turns more into a commitment and attachment. So you feel calmer, you feel more content. This is seen more after like 2 years plus into a relationship.
Mm-hmm. So probably like that vasopressin.
Yeah,
could be a role in that.
Definitely. Like it, and then she thinks it evolved to link you to another person for an extended period of time, which you can raise a kid with.
Right.
So this is very, you know, doesn't really take into account anything other than her theory on evolution and chemicals. So a big question that I had last week too was, how does she explain like gay relationships or relationships where people don't want to have kids? And I watched a few videos and she pretty much just said that we have these very primitive brain systems that evolved a long time ago, like, and we still retain this. She didn't fully answer the question, and then she just said like sex is good for your overall health. So then I was thinking, I don't know, what do you think about this theory, DJ Coco?
For the sex drive, I've actually, back to that one book that I always reference.
Bonobos?
The Bonobos. I've got to go back to the Bonobos. My book called Different by France de Waals. Read this book about primates, specifically about chimpanzees and bonobos. But for bonobos, they, first of all, they're matriarchal woman, or female bonobos rule everything. But they all have very active sex lives. They go for anything. They go for everyone and anything. It does not matter of the actual gender of the bonobos. They don't. It doesn't matter. But the people in the researchers who watch them, the primatologists, they always note that it forms social connections between the bonobos for like having intercourse with each other. I think maybe it could also, for gay and lesbian people, and just people in general, that having sex is also a form of social connection. That, I mean, that we don't have sex with our friends casually now, which
some
is something
people
different.
Do.
Some people do, but I feel like that could also have an impact from the past and how related we are to these primates, and these behaviors could leach into our own behaviors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think definitely like just looking at the chemicals of love is not really enough to fully analyze and like understand it, because exactly like with the bonobos, there is a social element to it as well. And especially in human societies, there's a very like culturally constructed idea of love, which is why I wanted to look more into queer theories on love after seeing Dr. Helen Fisher's theory.
Right.
So I looked on this woman's blog spot, actually. Her name is Coral Herrera Gomez, and she looked at love, the current state of love is like, it's very bound up with institutions like marriage and divorce, and then about like what is considered a normal type of love. And normally we do see love in very conventional formations, like with the nuclear family, especially as like this is very pushed on us as marriage, like heterosexual marriage, having kids, having a house, having a job, like that whole kind of idealized thing of love is very prominent in our society.
Mm-hmm.
And something that I found really interesting is that They talked about gender a lot in this blog post, and how we have a very, very traditional division of gender, which implies that we have to partner with like a member of the opposite gender to be complete, which I feel like I hear that kind of idea a lot, where it's like, oh, this person's my other half, or, you know, like something like that. And people who do not really express their love in this way are pushed to the margins of society, and their freedom to love is kind of removed, especially in a lot of other countries as well. But I just thought it was interesting that we have divided gender so much, because I know a lot of, like, every person has a sense of masculinity and femininity in their bodies, like, at birth. And then as we kind of grow up, we learn to like exaggerate something or not, which is, I've been reading this book. This brings me to basically this one point that I wanted to hit. I've been reading this book. It's called Annabelle by Kathleen Winter, and it's about a child who grows up intersex, and they were just talking about their experience, like, looking out at the city there in St. John's and, like, just seeing all the people. So I just want to quote it for a second. The male or female in them had been both diluted and exaggerated. They were one, extremely so, or they were the other. Everywhere Wayne looked, there was one or the other, male or female, abandoned by the other. So, I think, what do you think, DJ Coco? Like, do you think that represents how a lot of people show their gender identity?
The abandoned by the other part. Very deep. Almost shed a tear. It's definitely more... It was definitely more exaggerated back then, obviously. Like mm-hmm. in the
it was set
century.
In the 60s.
Yeah, if it was said back then, I could definitely see that. Now, I mean, we are trying to push away from the very stereotypical, I don't know, outward and inward expressions of masculinity and femininity. Like, I think it's more acceptable for a man to be a nurse or a woman to go into computer science kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's as, not shunned, but it's more accepting in environments, and as well by, for example, workplaces trying to promote being more inclusive of everyone. Even the radio station, we have promos for a woman going into STEM. You know, I feel like as a society, we're trying to collectively work on not exaggerating the very... binary idea of man or like femininity and masculinity. Mm-hmm. I find it interesting.
I think a lot of people, we are definitely getting better as a society with accepting people that fall out of the binary, or even with our own journeys with gender, like how we feel about ourselves, and it's more accepted to question it and mm-hmm. reflect on it. But I think I definitely do see that when there are certain roles, not even just roles in how we express our gender, but just how we're expected to act or, you know, move as a man or a woman, like that also kind of erases a part of ourselves in a way, like the way that we're socially conditioned to act. Like men will have to restrain their emotions a bit more and have this social pressure to be like aggressive or be active or be the person who's the main breadwinner. Mm-hmm. And we do see that still in relationships. Like there is a pressure for men to pay for the meal something to kind of, you know, that's how they're expressing, not necessarily love all the time, but that is still a form of expressing some sort of relationship.
Yeah, I mean, I have more of a specific example mm-hmm. for that. I can definitely, I mean, I'll mention it. I'm going to do it. I've been, okay, I'm in a relationship as well, or started a relationship, and I have a boyfriend, and so make relevant to the conversation that this is a dude, this is a male.
She's scientific with
I'm
it.
Getting scientific because we're in a scientific
my
conversation.
Male boyfriend.
We are in a scientific conversation. I was talking to my mom. We went out for dinner one time, and we ended up splitting the bill. And this was the early stages of us dating. I mean, it's still the early stages of us dating, but that's not the point.